sermon about today. So I'm just going to sit down. I quit with this church. If you have not met me, this is my third time here. Hey, thank you. That's really sweet. thank you. So the first time I came and the worship leader, Mama Quiñones, right? She preached my sermon during worship. And then the second time I came, and I talked about being fearless, but she preached the whole thing in worship. And then the second time I came, it's escaping me now. Hearing the shepherd's voice. Yeah, and then y'all did that during worship too. Right, so then I was sitting here and I really thought I had escaped someone preaching my sermon for me. I was like, yes, I've escaped. They're not doing it today. I mean, then I sort of felt bad. I'm like, but wait, Lord, I thought I heard from you. And then, you know, usually they preach before I get up here. And so I was waiting. And then it was announcement time. I'm like, oh, I really did escape. Oh, wait, but did I hear from God? Like, did I just make up this sermon? Oh, man, Lord, you know, just change. Oh, and then Doña came up, and she just preached the whole thing. So my kids were looking at me like, good luck, Mom. Not even playing with you. That is exactly what my son Earl just said to me. He does not get $5 for that. So if you've never seen me, I do give $5 for illustrations that I use my children in. And so Joaquin, who's with me today, will get $5. I already warned him. But before we get started, my son closed my window that I needed. It's fine. No, that's the other one. He's not getting any money. He's leaving. No money. All right, so if you're a leader, okay, the Lord was speaking to me during worship and even during your announcement time, and I'm trying not to cry, but if you're a leader in this church, I just need you to raise your hand. If you're a leader of any ministry, of anything, okay. I'm going to do my best not to cry, but I'm a weeper when it comes to, like, that sort of stuff. You can put your hands down. So I need to tell you this, and the Lord asked me to share this verse with the leaders. Not that y'all, the rest of y'all, aren't just the most amazing people in the world, because you are. But this, for this moment, for today, the Lord asked me to share this that is not in my notes. And I looked it up because I wanted the exact wording from Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. The Lord has asked me to share with the leaders, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And so the Lord wanted me to let you know that he sees. And he wanted me to let you know that you cannot give up and that he's got you. But the harvest is coming, and don't become weary. And I know that especially around this time of the year, from like Thanksgiving to Valentine's Day, it gets a little challenging sometimes. And it just becomes heavy and burdensome sometimes for some people. But the Lord asked me to share Galatians 6:9. For you and with you and over you. So just don't give up. Do not become weary in well-doing. You've got this because he's got you. Okay? Ooh, I love you guys. All right, I'm going to give my phone back to my son. My son, Earl, is leaving. He's going to Washington, D.C. for a leadership conference. He's waiting for a text that will get him outside because he needed a ride. He comes to me the other day. He's like, Ma, we could leave church on Sunday, right? Because I need you to take me to ALA. First of all, ALA is not close to my house. Abundant Life is about an hour from my house. And on a Sunday, and we have church, and all that. But Ma, I got to be at school by 12:15. I was like, I don't know which sermon you're interrupting on Sunday, but I cannot leave in the middle of a sermon to go take you to ALA. But thankfully, someone from this church is going, so they're going to pick him up and get him out of here. So a tall guy is leaving soon. Yeah. All right. Bye. Yeah, I love you. I'll miss you. I love you, and I miss you already. Okay. And my other son, Joaquin, he's the one from the parasail pictures. Yeah. This one, he's the parasail picture kid. However, he's like much taller. He grew. He's about almost 6 feet. Oh, wait, how tall are you now? I don't even know. 5'11 and 13 years old. I cannot keep enough sneakers or food in my house. to survive. So, all right, so enough of the intro. God is doing his thing. You already know what I'm preaching on. So I want you to think about times in your life where God did something because you prayed. God did something because you prayed. Where's Doña? She prayed. Someone got healed. They were out of the hospital after how many? After a month. See, I just want to sit down now. She had the intro, she had the whole thing, but God bless you for sharing. All right, so Thanksgiving is coming up on Thursday, right? So from our family and our church to your family and your church, we give you our Thanksgiving blessings. And I don't know what you do on Thanksgiving, but it gets real cool up in my house. In my house, we get a lot of donations around Thanksgiving. We are a ministry family sometimes, we're a ministry family all the time. My grandma was off right there. But around Thanksgiving, we do get a Thanksgiving basket. It's donated to our church. We get a turkey at our table. We get pies. We get all sorts of cool things. Someone makes me stuffing every single year. It's fantastic. Sometimes my Filipino friends will send me something called lumpia. Lumpia is like the best thing in the world. So we start off as an appetizer with lumpia. We dig into turkey that I cook like pavochon, like that, like a little like pernil tasting. I mean, I have collard greens, I have yams. I mean, Thanksgiving, I know you want to come over, right? Yes. Don't. It's not that big at my house. I mean, you're welcome to, but you can sit on the floor, I guess. But it's fine. And this year we requested pasteles. Yeah. See, all of that. And I make mashed potatoes, and I make arroz con gandules. Yeah, like I just fill up the table and there's only like five or six of us. And we're just looking at the food. Okay. There's like so much of it, it's too much for us. But we are thankful during this time because everything on our table has been given to us by someone in a congregation or in the neighborhood or something. Even the pies, like the only pie I make all year is a pumpkin pie, but the rest of my table is filled with a chocolate pie and an apple pie. My kids are like, yeah, pie. I don't think those pies are going to last this year. And then after we put everything on the table, my husband does the Instagram picture. Okay, everybody, pretend you're happy for a second. Because, you know, we get a little crazy after we get everything onto the table, and I'm hot and I'm tired. And he's like, let's take a picture. And I'm like, okay. He takes a picture of all the food. And then we go around the table, right? We do this traditional. My kids are like, oh, Mom, please. Yes, we go around the table and we say things that we're thankful for, things that God did for us. Really? Y'all know I'm talking up here, right? Yeah, uh-huh, okay. And so they go around and it's usually like, I thank God for the pie. I thank God for my friend. Sometimes they go a little bit deeper and then we pray. Sometimes we get a God is great prayer. God is great, God is good, and we thank him for this food. Amen. Let's eat. My husband has the long, eloquent prayer. We're about midway through. Our eyes open and we're like it's Thanksgiving. It's time to eat. Then the kids open their eyes and they're looking at me because I feel unsaved at that moment. And they're like, and we're all like, and my husband is going in. Just thanking God for 364 days prior to this Thanksgiving meal. And we're all just like, he'll be done soon. But I feel like in our lives now, in our society now, we have gotten some God is great prayers going on. At times we call those the college prayers, because apparently if you go to Bible college, you go, God is great, God is good. All of a sudden you lose your mind, you forget how to pray. It's real. It's real, folks. So the college kid comes home, she prays, God is great, God is good. But unfortunately, in our lives and in our society today, I think we've gone, sadly, to God is great, God is good, and we thank him for our food. Amen. And that is it. That is it for the whole year. See, we might scorn our husbands, my husband sometimes, when he does those deep Thanksgiving Day prayers. It's just because we're hungry. We've been waiting all day, and now my husband is praying from Genesis to Revelation and thanking God. You know, he's really thanking God and from the depths of his heart. I mean, and he really loves pasteles, so forget it. If there's Latin food on the table, that prayer is even deeper. But I think our lives have got to come back to that type of praying. Maybe not over Thanksgiving. I do not encourage that type of prayer over Thanksgiving unless you eat the lumpia before you pray. Okay, so that's my hint to that. So society is changing. Our families are changing, our lives are changing, and I want us to move away from the God is great prayers, because he is great, but God is great prayers is what we teach our two-year-olds at our preschool to pray. So those are our base prayers. Those are the ones when children are learning how to speak, right? We teach them, we teach our infants and toddlers even, as soon as they learn how to talk, not even, pre-vocabulary in our infant and toddler room at our preschool, they are saying, God, great, eat. Okay, that is not where we need to be as adults. That is not how we need to be as redeemed, righteous folk. And so I want you to turn to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. That's the New Testament. It's next to Hebrews. And just a note from an educator. I know we like everything on our cell phones. I know we do. But it is a proven fact that what you look at on your cell phone or you read on your cell phone, you will not capture or retain as much as something that is on paper that you can look at and that you can touch. Your brain will actually remember what's on here. When you're scrolling, your brain does not lock on to where that is on your scrolled cell phone page, but your brain will lock onto and remember where it was where you were reading it in the Bible, or any book actually for that matter. So nothing against cell phones, but when you're going into the Word, you know, mix it up a little bit and go back to paper. And you will see that your retention for God's word will be much deeper. So James chapter 5, and then we'll pray. James chapter 5, verse 13, glasses off. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Noah prayed that this morning, didn't he? The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this family at West Hudson. Lord, I pray that you would do a mighty work here, that you would continue to do a mighty work. Lord, you have given them a vision and a purpose. And so, Lord, I pray that you would move and that they would move forward in their vision and their purpose. Lord, today I pray that the things that I say would not be about me, but that the things that I say would draw people to you. And Lord, if there's someone here today that's questioning their faith, I pray that what they hear from the scripture today would challenge them. Maybe they'll think I'm weird, but they'll think you're amazing, and that you transform, and that you change, and that you heal, and that you bring fire, and that you bring rain, and you bring transformation. Lord, I pray that everything that is done today would draw people to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, the rapture must have happened, and we all got left behind. He left. during the prayer time. I'm such a mom. I miss my kids. I'm the mom who still walks their kids to class and cries on the first day of school. Like I selfie the kids on the first day of school. Don't go. Mom, I'm in college, but don't. Just, mom, I'm a freshman. I don't care. I cry. I cry for them. All right, so I talk about social media a lot because I'm on social media a lot. I'm a youth pastor also. My husband and I have a church, but I am also the youth pastor, so I like to keep on top of what's going on. I unfollow a lot. I don't block a lot, but I'm always trying to keep on the pulse of what's happening, and also I don't play games on there, but I also like to see recipes for Thanksgiving. So I'm on Facebook a lot, but one of the trends that I'm seeing on Facebook often is sending you our prayers, lifting up our prayers to you, sending out our thoughts to you, our prayers being sent up. I'm sorry, I'm probably stepping on some toes because maybe you've used this, but I'm hoping that we'll change the narrative today. And then usually there's like two hands together like this next to, hey, thoughts being sent up. Usually, actually, teenagers know that's actually a hand clap. It's not a prayer thing, but that's usually what I see on social media, prayers being sent up. I'm sending you my thoughts. I'm sending you my prayers. We need to change this, okay? We need to change how we view prayer, where prayer should go, and who we should be praying to. Okay, because when I send you my thoughts and prayers, I don't think that's going to do anything. Because I'm pretty sure you can't do anything for that situation. There's only one person I should be sending my prayers to, and sending thoughts and prayers, let's work on this. But we're going to talk a little bit more about this throughout. We recently had a mass shooting. How many? So many, right? I'm looking for children. We're good. Mostly teenagers. We're cool. There's the largest church mass shooting ever. About 26 people were murdered. Many injured, including the pastor's daughter, was killed in that. And then there was this news article. I'm just going to read you a portion of it. With members from so-and-so places told the leaders of both parties of the House and the Senate that the onslaught of gun violence plaguing our nation demands action beyond the expression of thoughts and prayers. As organizations of faith, we strongly believe in the power of prayer, said the letter dated November 9th, and yet we know that prayer is a call to action rather than a substitute for it. This was completely, I believe, in my opinion, taken out of context. The spin on that made it seem like there were Christian leaders that said prayer is not enough. I think when you really read it carefully, it says, we know that prayer is a call to action rather than a substitute for it. Well, my kids are little, right? And they're learning how to walk. We got to get them shoes, right? So we get them shoes with laces. And the first thing they do is they call out, Mom, because their shoelaces are untied. I go over, I tie their shoelace. As they get older, we need to teach them how to tie those shoes, right? But they're still going to call Mom, I'm still going to come over, I'm still going to tie their shoe, but I'm going to teach them. And now they're going to call Mom, and they're getting older, and I'm saying, well, you should know how to tie your shoes, this is going to be some of the last times. And then they call Mom. Like, you 11 now, you should be tying that shoe already. But they get a little, what shall we say, lazy. I try not to use the word lazy in education, but for this purposes, I will use the word lazy. Yes, they get a little lazy. You're 11 years old. You should be able to tie your shoe. Sometimes I'll tie that shoe. Sometimes I won't. In our prayer life, sometimes we get a little, go ahead. Thank you, because you guys were really on point right there. Get a little lazy. See, at first, when we are looking for God to help us, when we call him, he is like our parent. He wants to answer us. He wants to come, and he wants to run. He wants us to call him. But sometimes we do some God is great, God is good kind of prayer. We're getting a little lazy with our prayer. Sometimes God will still be gracious, just like I'm still gracious when my kids are 11, and sometimes I will still bow down, bend down, and tie their shoes for them. But prayer is not just words. Effectual, fervent prayer of James chapter 5, 16, also followed by action. My kids put their faith in me, and we need to put our faith in God. And we need to know who this God is that we're praying to. James chapter 5, verse 16, verse 17 says, Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. That's because they were fooling around. You know that, right? They were up to no good, and Elijah just prayed down heaven, well, prayed away rain for all that time because they were becoming idolaters. They were doing things that were drawing them away from God, and Elijah prayed. He was a righteous man. But he was a human being just like us. That's what James chapter 5 is telling us. He was human just like us. He was praying, and God heard him and stopped the rain, and then prayed again, and God sent the rain. See, we're using prayer, I think, the wrong way. And so I want us to change how we view prayer. I want us to know the who's, the what's, the why's, the how's of prayer. You guys okay over there? Yes. Okay. You know what prayer is? Okay. I like you guys. All right. So we know about Elijah. He prayed down, he prayed. The rain stopped. He prayed again. The rain starts. But let's look more about who Elijah was praying to. Because I wonder if we're just forgetting who it is that we're asking from. I heard that in a couple of the songs today. Who it is that we are asking things from. 1 Kings chapter 18. See, in 1 Kings chapter 17, that's when that rain stops, then it starts, right? But 1 Kings chapter 18, that's more my style. 1 Kings chapter 17 shows me a righteous prophet, a righteous man. He prayed a strong prayer, and this is what happened. But in 1 Kings chapter 18, I get like real psyched about this. Because now God gets to show off in like a really cool way. I get so excited about this. So 1 Kings chapter 18. Let me just make sure I get it over here. So we told you 17 is the one chapter. 8 where the rain, the no rain. Chapter 18. There's a showdown. Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Israel had gone more than 3 years without rain as judgment for their idolatry. The prophet Elijah confronts the evil king Ahab, challenges him to this showdown. The king has to gather all of Israel at Mount Carmel with 450 prophets of the false god Baal and the 400 prophets of the false goddess Asherah. On Mount Carmel, Elijah says to the people, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. And then the people are like, oh, we don't know which one will do. So then then Elijah says, he challenges the prophets of Baal to prepare a bull as an offering for their God on their altar. And then Elijah would do the same. But they couldn't light fire, so that was the catch, right? And so the God who answers with fire would be the true God. And this is where we really see that our God is bigger than the God is great, God is good prayers, right? Because in my opinion, in my opinion means this is not the law, don't memorize this part, this is not going to be on the test. The prophets of Baal had it wrong. See, they had those sort of God is great, God is good prayers. Right? So they cried out from the morning till the evening with no answer from Baal, no fire from Baal. And Elijah begins to mock them. This is the part I enjoy a little bit. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I'll need to be at the altar later. So he says to them, shout louder. Surely he's a god. Perhaps he's in deep thought or busy in the bathroom or traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and he needs to be awakened. The level of sarcasm dripping from these verses are so New Jersey. It's just dripping with sarcasm, like maybe your god's on vacation. Maybe he's in the potty. Think about it. I mean, like, that you can't get more New Jersey than that, I think. So the prophets of Baal fall for that. They got triggered. That's a good word, right? Triggered? They were triggered? Okay. So the prophets of Baal shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. And despite hours of effort, nothing happened. There was no response, no one answered, and no one paid attention. And Elijah then called the people as he repaired the altar of the Lord. He used the 12 stones, he dug a trench around the altar, he placed wood on the altar, and he laid the cut pieces of bull on it. And then, to top it off, see, here's another one, you ready? I'm just gonna talk to the teenagers. Elijah was savage. 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 Elijah then had the people douse the altar with 12 large jars of water. Do you ever try to light something that's wet? I mean, really, let's think about that. So the water soaked the sacrifice and the wood and filled the trench. And once the sacrifice was ready, Elijah prayed, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so that these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. And then God did what Baal could never do. The fire of the Lord fell from heaven and consumed the burnt offering. Oh, wait. Maybe that's why my husband prays the long prayer. Maybe he's waiting for the fire from heaven to consume the turkey. No, I'm just kidding. I saw you guys drifting there for a second. I wanted you to come back. Here we go. The fire consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and also all the water in the trench. The people of Israel bowed down and declared the Lord as God. This is the God we serve today. I love that in James chapter 5, it says that Elijah was a human being just like us. We like to say the only people who can bring down fire is the pastor, the evangelist, the minister, the leader, the this. No, Elijah was a human being just like us. They put him in here for a reason. They put him in here that you, so that you would know that as a human being, you can be righteous and that you can pray. Not a God is great, God is good prayer, but a God send the fire sort of prayer, and our God will send a fire that will burn up the offering and the stones and the wood and, you know what, the water, and hello, he put in the dust. This is the God that we are serving, and we limit our prayers to, hey, thanks God. We limit our prayers to what little thing he can do for us. And I wanted to be careful today because I have testimony about testimony. I have a testimony of the Lord healing my daughter at birth. I have testimony of my bills being paid. I have testimonies of putting on the right shoes because I prayed and not getting soaked. I mean, these are things, but I don't want you to hear trivial little things. Well, not trivial, they're not trivial, but I didn't want you to just hear serve God because he told Tanya to wear the right shoes one day and she didn't get soaked. I want you to hear about the God who, when we pray to him, will send fire. You're going to have Thanksgiving dinner on Thursday, maybe, if you celebrate it. Not all cultures celebrate it. That's fine. You can come to my house. I'll give you turkey. And you're going to wish during some of the conversations in your house that God would send the fire. You're going to wish that God would send something to consume that conversation, or that aunt, or that uncle, or that whatever. You have some situations in your life, and around Thanksgiving, those situations really like to bubble up to the surface, don't they? This is why Thanksgiving sometimes can be kind of a tough time for people, because every conversation that you waited all year to have, now you're having, but you're kind of dressed up, and now there's a table, and there's a lot of turkey-looking things or pork-looking things, and now you're fighting over politics, you're fighting over religion, you're fighting over who stole Aunt Sally's picture when she died, you're talking about Cousin Susie and all the four husbands she don't have. And can I just tell you, start today without the God is great, God is good prayers. But Lord, send the fire prayers. Lord, would you transform my family prayers? Lord, would you do this? You know what? Here's another one. Early on in my marriage, really early on, you know those years, if you're married, I was like, what's happening here, Lord? I picked up a book, The Power of a Praying Wife. The very first chapter was, it's not about him, it's about you. I was like, this book is stupid. Like, it's totally about him. I mean, that's why we're talking. When I began to pray about myself, my marriage had a huge turnaround at that time. We had gotten past the newlywed thing. We were just a few years in, and I was like, this is hard stuff, and I don't really have some godly examples in front of me. I want you to pray, not the God is great, God is good prayers over your life. I want you to pray, Lord, send the fire and start it in me. Because I think sometimes it's us, and we don't want to see it. But it's okay, start your bring the fire down prayers, but ask God to start it in you. What is it that needs to be consumed in your life so that others will see that God is doing something in your life? I know there's stuff I still have. I know there's stuff he has too. But you know, we need to bring back the fire prayers. We need to know who we are praying to. He has never left us. He has never changed. You know who's changed? We have. Back in the day, we would sit, we would tarry, we would stay. I'll tell you what, when I was in youth group, I have journals back from youth group days. I don't know why. It's probably a good idea. I don't know. And one of the journal entries from back in the day was, the church prayed all night and I could only pray a few hours. Lord, forgive me. I don't understand. We don't have that anymore. We have God is great, God is good prayers. It's almost as if we've forgotten all of the things that he can do. He brings fire. I want you to know that we have to pray. I want you to know that we pray to a God who transforms, who, can I just say, he brings fire. He gets rid of things in our lives. But what should we pray? The Bible tells us we should pray for healing in James chapter 5, right? It talks about healing, confession of sins, right? When we're happy, we should be praying. That was all in James chapter 5. What should we be praying? Psalm 120 verse 1 says, I took my troubles to the Lord. I cried out to him and he answered my prayer. That was our prayer when our daughter was sick at birth. Why should we pray? Because you cannot help yourself. C.S. Lewis says, I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I am helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. It doesn't change God, it changes me. See, God has never changed, but when we pray, we are changed. Another why? Psalm 116, verse 2. This is more of a when. Psalm 116, verse 2. Because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. When should you pray? As long as you have breath. All the time. Every day. Constantly. I want you to take a moment. I want you to think about, I asked you earlier, I'm hoping that you were trying to remember. I want you to think about a time that you prayed about something and God did it. I want you to think about a time that you prayed about something and God did it. Okay, now we're going to get interactive. Tell me right now, raise your hand, somebody. Tell me about one time that you prayed and God did it. Go. You asked and you prayed to get pregnant, and you were pregnant. I saw you.
I prayed for my son to get healed. Finally, when I was in Puerto Rico, they might spend the school without work a couple of months, and we were praying for provision. All of a sudden, there was a friend that came with groceries and all kinds of things.
It's not just happening on this side of the room. Sir. God sends fire. Yes.
2 years ago, the doctors wanted to give my husband a piece of paper. And they prayed and his son was
healed. Do you understand this? These were, I bet you, we should not bet. There's no gambling. If you're going to the casino, cancel those plans. But I bet you those were not God is great prayers. God is great, God is good, and we thank him for... I bet you that those were prayers from the depths of my heart. God, we're not going to eat today. God, I don't want him to die. God, I need you. Send the rain, send the fire. Do not be like the gods of Baal. But he hears us. And he turns his ear to us. I challenge you this Thanksgiving week not to be discouraged or hurried or panicked, but I challenge you to take some time to do the real prayers. Prayers sounds very different. To do the real prayer, to the real talking to God this time. Not the fast, hurried prayer. I read a quote, I wish I had written it down because I was unable to find it again, but basically it was, I have so much to do today, I must spend the first 3 hours today in prayer then. I couldn't find it later, but I think about that. On my most stressful days that I know that are coming up, I begin the prayer time much earlier than I normally would. And they don't sound like God is great, God is good. They sound like, Lord, deliver me. Lord, do something. Change them. Change me. Do this. Do that. Lord. And because he loves me, and because, I mean, we don't want to call ourselves righteous, but yes, when you became a Christian, it was a whole different life for you. He does those things for us because he loves us and he cares about us and he wants those things for us. He is going to allow us to walk around with our shoes untied sometimes a little bit, right? But he wants to do those things for you. He wants to do those things for us because He's a good Father. He's a Heavenly Father. And so I had prepared this message and then realized it was Thanksgiving. And I said, they probably want something cute, like a cute Thanksgiving message. So there it is. I threw a turkey in there somewhere, right? So when you're praying this week, the challenge will be to pray the deeper prayers. Again, when are we not praying those? Over the turkey. Y'all can have your prayer meeting after you eat. Y'all can hold hands and do whatever. But not over the turkey, unless you're coming to my house. That will happen. But God wants to do more. He wants to do more. He wants to hear from you, and He wants you to pray the bigger prayers. Those impossible prayers. And actually, I want you to think about that. Think about something that's absolutely impossible right now. Not something you want. I know you want a Ferrari. No, you don't need that. No. You don't need the bigger house, I promise. You're just going to have to clean it. It's not worth it. You're just not going to want it. I want you to pray the impossible prayer this week. I want you to start today. Lord, help me stop eating the fries. Remember, we talked about that the last time I was here. Lord, help me stop. That for me is an impossible thing. Lord, help me not take that swig this week. Lord, help me to avoid the coquito with the rum. You joke, but it's the truth. Lord, help me to avoid that glass of wine. Because you're all not eating at your house, right? Some of you are going to other places and the stuff is going to be there too. Lord, help me not look at that thing on TV. Help me not go to that movie. So for some people, these are impossible prayers. Lord, help me to see again. Help me to walk again. Help my child come back to Christ. Those are impossible prayers. But see, the same God who Elijah prayed to is the same God we pray to, is the same God who will still bring the fire. Amen. And He will still burn up the stones, and He will still burn up the dust. Let's pray. Lord, we have some difficult situations in our lives. We have some things that we're going through. We have parents in need of healing. We have children in need of healing. And some of us need your touch in body as well. Some need mental healing. Some need physical healing. Some of us need to stop eating things. Some of us need to stop drinking things and ingesting things. Some of us need to stop looking at things. Some of us need to stop going certain places. Some of us are going to be in some unusual situations this week. And so, Lord, we pray to the God who brings the fire. Lord, we know that you're not a God who is afar off. We know that you're not asleep and that you're not on vacation. We know that you are for us. And if you are for us, then who can be against us? Lord, I pray that you would do a mighty work and that you would do the impossible for us. Because when you do the impossible in us, Lord, we know that people around us see that, and then they want to know about this God of the impossible. And so, Lord, we don't pray for selfish reasons, Lord, but we pray to draw others to you because you don't want any of us to perish, but that we would all come to a saving knowledge. And so, Lord, I pray that you would do that work this week. Lord, I pray that you would bless every family here. I pray that you would bless every table, every child, every young person, every family member, Lord. I pray that you would just be in the midst of everything that we say and we do this week. Lord, we pray the impossible. And we look forward to with great anticipation what you have in store for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Another round of applause for Reverend Munyon for coming out.